Today's episode comes from discussion that we were having in the Practical Prepping private Facebook group, and that was prepping in an apartment. So we've kind of made this an urban apartment prepping. But now there are some things in here that are very good if you are in a small space situation and you still want to be prepping. So stick with us and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Practical Prepping. Today is March 7th, 2024, and this is episode number 454. This is the prepping podcast with no bunkers, no zombies, and no alien invasions, just practical prepping, where we believe that stuff happens, so we need to stay prepared, and we're here to help you get prepared. Hi, guys. I'm Krista.
And I'm Mark. And if you'd like the expanded notes for this episode, go to practicalprepping.info/454. Now, if you're not a member of the private Practical Prepping Facebook group, we'd love to have you there with us. We're having a good time. We're learning some things. And the link will be on the front page of practicalprepping.info. We are so glad to be back.
We sure are.
We've been about, 2 weeks without an episode.
It's been weird.
It really has.
We've missed you guys, and some of you have reached out to and said how much you've missed us, and we do appreciate that. You know, stuff happens. You have to prepare in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah, and some of this we just had to go through to kind of catch you up on what's happened with us.
Right.
I came down with strep.
Yeah, he was a sick puppy.
And that was about, 3 weeks ago today?
Yes.
And so I came down with strep.
And it hung on.
And it hung on and hung on. And then I wound up with the crud.
Yeah.
And one lady asked, what's the crud? Well, that's when, you know, your head's full of junk and your chest is full of junk. And quite honestly, I got to feeling better last week, but I sounded like a croaking frog.
Yeah, and you were kind of weak. I think it just kind of took a lot out of you.
I was weak, and I'm still not back 100%. And in today's episode, you'll actually be able to detect some of that in my voice, that I'm not back 100%. Now, if that's not enough, and Krista took a tumble.
Yeah, I fell down. I was in a client's house and hit a high spot in the floor, and my foot stopped, and the rest of me kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And I went kaboom, 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 and rolled all over the floor. I did not hit my head. But I knocked out my knees and my elbow pretty good, and I didn't break a bone. I've got good bones, but I'm just black and blue and aching all over. And so I don't recommend that bone density test.
No, not the best of bone density tests. And then after the tumble, she came down with the crud.
Yeah, I was just not feeling 100% either. I don't think I had the full-on flu or strep. But anyway, we're just telling you all that to say that sometimes Mark and I just suffer together our own different ways, but we had each other. He took good care of me, and I took good care of him. And so now we are back, trying to get back on track with practical prepping. We've missed you, and we are glad to be back.
And we do appreciate, as Krista said, those that reached out to us, and a couple of emails came in like, hey, are you guys okay?
Yeah. We even had one of our Sunday school members ring our doorbell.
Yeah.
You know, we actually were not home at that time, but I mean, we try to keep people up to date as far as what we were doing and what we were experiencing, but it's nice to be cared about and to be cared for. That just makes you feel good as a person.
It really does. But let's get to some apartment prepping.
Let's do it.
We usually think of preppers as country dwellers, but actually city prepping could be even more essential should the need for survival skills really kick in. Now, if you live in an apartment, you probably lack space, but there are many situations you can prepare for should the need ever occur. Now, part of this came out of a discussion in the private Practical Prepping Facebook group. And if you're not in that group, we would invite you to come and join that group. And we will put that link on the website there at practicalprepping.info. Certainly would like to invite you to come and to be a part of that. Urban dwelling is dominated by larger populations per square foot, so the demand for emergency supplies could be higher. Natural disasters such as floods, earthquakes, and storms, they're likely to strand you temporarily, so make sure you're prepared with survival items that are going to count in an emergency. And we've put together 12 tips for apartment preppers. Number one, this is going to sound funny, have a 5-gallon plastic bucket with a lid. Now, that lid is the essential element here because it means that your bucket could serve as dry storage container or even an emergency toilet. A bucket is a prepper list essential, and there are hundreds of uses that could save your skin. You can haul water in it. You can make a toilet out of it. You can use it for dry storage. You can catch water that's leaking through the roof. Just all kinds of things that you can do. But you can also use the space inside the bucket to store some of your prepping supplies because space is limited. So we want to use that space. Number two, stock some toilet paper, paper towels or rags, and some cleaning agents. Now, we really like hydrogen peroxide because it has so many uses. Everything from wound care, water purification, cleaning. Episode 452 that we did very recently is on 8 uses for hydrogen peroxide. We'll put that link in the show notes as well. But, you know, rolls of toilet paper can be compressed to save storage space. Now, you can press the rounded roll flat. It won't affect the paper. We take that center roll out and press it even flatter. That's how we carry it in our car bags, our get-home bags. And we have been known to store it that way at times here at home. But if you need to evacuate your premises in a hurry, having some toilet paper could be a lifesaver. And make sure you don't only have it in your EDC bag, but have some in your bucket, because if you have to grab your bucket to go, take it with you. Number three, store a backpacking stove. Really, the point here is have an alternative way to prepare hot food in a power outage. Now, we have a propane camping stove that we carry. It's really a little bit large for backpacking, but you can get those in butane or propane. You can even get denatured alcohol stoves that are made for backpacking, but you really want to have a way to prepare hot food in case of a power outage. And don't forget to store fuel for your stove. Have at least enough to prepare meals for, I would say, a minimum of 2 weeks if that were to become an issue. The backpacking stoves aren't really designed for indoor use, and they do produce carbon monoxide, which can be deadly. So use it in a well-ventilated space, preferably next to an open window. We have cooked with it on top of our stove with a window in the kitchen about 6 feet away. We could also do it on the counter right there next to the kitchen sink, which has the window over it. It's also easy to take it onto our patio, and you could do that on a balcony, but just be aware that you need to have some ventilation. Number four, collect and store non-perishable food. Now, I've seen a lot of folks offer a lot of different options here. One of those was dehydrated food, but if you store dehydrated food, remember the extra amount of water that you'll need for cooking. It takes quite a bit of water. What we suggest is that you store what you normally eat. I don't want to be dragging out dehydrated food. Yes, it's great for very long-term storage, but I don't want to be dragging that stuff out for a 5-day snowstorm. So store what you normally eat. Canned vegetables, canned meats, pastas. You know, I always joke around about there's at least 27 pounds of spaghetti noodles stored here in the house. That is Krista's favorite food. And folks mess with me about that from time to time, but it's really a good thing to have. Dry soup mixes. We love that Bear Creek. I think it makes 8 cups of soup. Put it in one container and boil it up, and it's great. But what you really want to be doing is storing calorie-dense food, especially if you're going to be doing manual labor. And that's things like baked beans, cans of chili, condensed soup, even powdered milk. But think about the storage space and pack every inch of space that you may have available with as many calories as you can. Now, we did an episode on how we prep when we were in an apartment, and we related how we put food behind the couch. We had a glass table that sat on two pillars, and it was about a foot wide, and we had this some type of tablecloth, I'll call it, that went across that, and we put it between the couch and the wall, and Krista just stocked that up with food. There was a lot of food under that table behind the couch. We put it under a covered TV table. It was a round table. I don't know, it was about 3 feet around. And Krista had a tablecloth that was round that went all the way to the floor. And we stocked food and propane under that table. We actually weren't allowed to have the propane in that size container in the apartment, but it was never seen because it was under that table. We had food inside end tables. We had it in closet tops and in the back corners and under beds. Underbed storage is a great place for food storage for apartment dwellers or small houses. I think Krista even has some under the bed now. I know she has some prepping items under there. For us, we put our bed on 5-inch risers. And it wasn't as much for prepping purposes as it was to help us to be able to get out of the bed. I mean, we're getting a little bit older, and that extra little bit of height helps us, but it gave us about double the space under the bed to be able to use for storage for prepping items. Number 5, have alternative power sources. Now, you can purchase a crank or a wind-up charger relatively inexpensively. And if the grid goes down, everybody's going to be needing to charge their cell phones as long as the cell grid's working. Or if you store other things, I mean, I would want my tablet because I have books on my Kindle that I would want to pass some time reading. But don't queue up and pay through the nose at a local store to charge your phone. Do it manually. Now, you can do that with different types of chargers. You can use battery banks. We have several of those here, and we can recharge those in a number of ways if we need to. Number 6, build a lights out kit. Now, flashlights are essential. We have to have them, and we have them all over the place. I mean, you can get packs of those 5 for 10 bucks, and those are good to get you to your good flashlight. We have those between our chairs in the den where we sit. We have them in the drawer next to the bed. I mean, those things are scattered all around. And then we have some, you know, our heavy-duty flashlights. But those little lights let us get to our big lights anywhere that they are. Now, I like a rechargeable flashlight. They're great as long as you can charge them. And your batteries won't last forever, which, by the way, you need to store some extra batteries for your flashlights and for any other devices, and putting them in your bucket's a good place to do that. And you can get hand crank flashlights, but it takes a lot of cranking. Solar charged lights are good. You can use them and then put them in the window by day. Something else that I have a couple here that I'm playing with. And these are those sidewalk lights. You know what I'm talking about, that you stake down next to the sidewalk and they charge solar during the day and then they burn at night. Those are a great way to be able to put a little bit of light someplace. Put it in the bathroom, put it in the hall so you can see a little bit to walk. But they're really good to do that kind of thing with. You can charge them by day and use them by night. You can also get solar panels to charge your rechargeable flashlights, even small ones. And in an apartment setting, a small solar generator might be a great idea to have because that lets you have power for more things. But in your lights out kit, you're going to need flashlights, LED lanterns. We have quite a number of those. We have a couple of oil lamps, and some of those are just decorative, but they can be used. I mean, that was our primary means of lighting in 1993 when we went through a 7-day blizzard with absolutely no power. So we use those oil lamps. You can use pillar candles. I don't like an open candle. Now, the pillar candles, the ones that are like in the tall jar, those seem to be a lot safer. We do burn some of those around, especially getting, you know, fish smell out if we've been cooking fish or something like that. But they're safer than just having a taper candle. But don't forget that you need fuel if you're going to use oil lamps, and you need matches, and you need lighters. And a good supply of cigarette lighters with plenty of fuel. We have them in all of our bags. We have them in my EDC bag. I carry one in my pocket most of the time. But we have them scattered around the house as well. So make sure that you have a way to light your candles or your lamps if need be. Number 7, buy yourself some decent water storage containers. Now, it's impossible to keep enough water stored for a permanent backup supply because it takes up so much space. But a small supply can be the difference between life and death if you really come down to it. Now, water doesn't go bad, but it can become contaminated. We'll talk about that in a second. But I like these blue water storage containers. They come in 4, 5, 7 gallon sizes. You can get them in 55 gallon, but that's certainly not appropriate for an apartment. Now, here's the ones that I really, really like. And you can get them at the grocery store. And it's the 1 or the 2.5 gallon drinking water. The 2.5 gallon, they come with a spigot on it, and they're stackable. And so you think about 2.5 gallons, and it costs a little over $1, you know, $1.50, $2, well, maybe $3 by now. But we do buy gallon water at the grocery store, and we have a number of these because they are stackable. What you don't want to do is to refill empty milk containers. It's just absolutely impossible, for the most part, to be able to totally clean those things. And it leaves bacteria in there that can contaminate your water supply. Don't use those. They're also a much thinner plastic, and they will leak. We did that a number of years ago where we were reusing gallon milk containers, and guess what happened? They wound up leaking right there in the floor. What we do, now I am sleeping on a CPAP, so I go through a lot of distilled water. And so what I do is, as I use that distilled water, I set those empty jugs aside, and I think I've got 6 of them in there now that are empty that are ready for me to fill with tap water. And then once, if they become necessary to be used, we will filter them at that time. I'm not going to pre-filter it because I may or may not need it in the long run. I do rotate those every couple of years, maybe. I will use that gallon to mix chemicals in the garden sprayer. I will use it to water plants or something. So it doesn't totally go to waste, but I will rotate it just because, rather than using fresh water to mix the chemicals or to water plants, I'll just use that stored water and then replace it. But when you're storing water, you want to account for a minimum of 1 gallon of drinking water per day for each person. Now, Krista and I have tested this, and we have found that we are closer to 1.5 gallons per day as far as our coffee. Yes, that's important. As far as cooking and for the pets, we want to make sure that we have enough water stored for the boys as well. Now, in addition to water, number 8 is never be without a water filter. If the power goes down, your water quality may suffer. We've seen these situations where water plants went down, where filtration plants went down. We were told to not drink the water. We were told to boil the water, or we were told just not to use it because of something that was in it. So you want to have some type of water filter available at all times. Now, the personal water filters, you can get Life Straw, you can get Sawyer. Now, we like the Sawyer Mini more than we do the Life Straw, although honestly, we have both. I don't have a problem with either one, but the Sawyer filters about 10 times as much water across the lifespan of the filter So that's why we like the Sawyer Mini over the Life Straw, but have a water filter. Now, we have a gravity water filter, a Pro 1, sitting on our counter, and it will do 3 gallons at a time, and we filter all of our water that we use for coffee, cooking, drinking, whatever, goes through that filter on a daily basis, and that's how we figured out that we're about 3 gallons a day between the two of us. However, you can make a gravity water filter out of a Sawyer or a Life Straw. And you would do that by hanging up the bag of water, running it through a tubing, through the filter, and into a container. So you could build that gravity water filter if you needed to, because it's not all that easy to draw all your water through the water filter. It's not really great for filtering water for cooking. If you have to draw it through and put it in your mouth, and it's a lot easier just to make a gravity water filter, drip it into another container, and use that for cooking. Have some water purification tablets. These are inexpensive. They take up very little room, and they can be used, as well as using hydrogen peroxide to purify water. You just follow the instructions on there. We've got the instructions in that episode that we talked about for being able to purify water with hydrogen peroxide. And there's always the option of boiling that water. It's a good way to kill all of the bugs that are in it. Just pre-filter it through some cotton cloth or something, as I always jokingly say, get the chunks out. And that just gets any debris that's in that water. I mean, even if you have to get it out of a mud hole, you want to be able to kill anything that's in it and be able to drink that. Number 9, have a sleeping bag. Now, when it's cold, a sleeping bag can be more effective, and it's a lot easier to store than a bunch of blankets. And you'll already have sheets probably, but a sleeping bag is essential for your home prepping kit. I even like the idea of carrying one in the vehicle. Don't always do that. I don't do it around town and stuff. We've done it on times when we were making trips to see the grandson in North Carolina. Just it's not very big. It's a double size that Krista and I can both get in and share body heat in there and be warmer if we're broken down on the road or something happens, or heaven help, you know, the balloon goes up and we have to try to get home. We were driving back not long ago, and Krista said, "How long would it take us to walk home 432 miles? And we had a pretty good discussion after that. But that sleeping bag would be something that would be very, very good to have there for us. You can use it if the power's off and the heat's off. You can sleep in the bed in the sleeping bag. So have a way to stay warm. Number 10 is pretty self-explanatory. Have a basic toolkit. Every home should have a toolbox. You need screwdrivers, hammers, nails, screws, and there's situations that you could get into that you really, really need to have those. Number 11, very, very important, have a fire plan. Have a routine that you know well, because in case of a fire, panic can blind you. Let everyone in the apartment know about the fire escape plan so that you can help each other when it's needed. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully you never need it. But do have that fire plan. Don't have just a single fire extinguisher in your apartment. I know that a lot of apartments, they are required to put a fire extinguisher in there, and they'll put one. Buy your own. It doesn't mean you have to leave it if you move out of the apartment. Take it with you. But you want to have multiple fire extinguishers throughout your apartment. And one, you never know where a fire might occur. Some of the new fire blankets, I love those things. They're on the website under featured items. And if you have a kitchen fire, if you have a grease fire on the stove, you throw this blanket over it and it just kills that fire. And it's not a mess to clean up as far as, you know, letting go an ABC fire extinguisher with all that powder going throughout the stove and throughout the kitchen. So take a look at those fire blankets. I really, really do like those. And keep those close to the entrances and close to the appliances that may accidentally combust or where a fire might start, but not so close that you can't get to it if there is a fire. Now, in this fire plan, you want to have an escape plan for windows. Now, I know that depends on how high you live, but don't discount the possibility that the window may be your only way of escape in a fire. Now, they do make a building escape backpack that could save your life. And basically, you anchor it somewhere in the room, you throw it out the window, and you go down the ladder. You're not going to do it from floor number 30, but if you're on the third floor, you very well may need that to get out. Number 12, don't forget your pets. Your pets still require feeding in an emergency. They're your buddies, they're your friends, they're your little fellas, they're your fur babies, and they need to be fed and watered during an emergency. So make sure there's a supply of food for them. Now, dry food lasts longer than wet food, and it's more compact. Now, we store dry food, but we also store canned tuna and water for the boys. We can use that several ways. We can feed the cats with it. They do get a can each night to share. That's their special time. They hear that can opener, and they come running. They know it's tuna time. But you know, we can eat that tuna too if we need to. So we have a pretty fair amount of tuna stored, and it can be for the boys, it can be for us, but just don't forget those pets.
Today's cup of coffee comes from our friend Gloria. Hey, Gloria, we really appreciate that.
We really appreciate that.
Yummy. And if you have received value from the podcast, how about helping us by giving back a little? First, you can buy us a cup of coffee. Second, you could start your Amazon shopping from our website, practicalprepping.info. It costs you nothing extra, but it pays us a small commission on some qualifying purchases. You'll find the links to both of those at practicalprepping.info. To help us out, we really appreciate it.
And as Krista always says,
stuff happens, brother, don't we know.
Don't we know.
Stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time.